Lois needs more chickens, and plenty of chicken feed. Lois is 54, and she lives in a small village in Kenya. She supports her 5 children by selling milk and eggs. And now Lois needs more chickens, so she's asked for a $900 loan that she's going to pay back, but not from a bank, from you. We already know that teaching a person to fish instead of giving them a fish is how to help families lift themselves out of poverty. You can give an interest-free loan to people like Lois through Kiva, K-I-V-A, kiva.org. Kiva.org gives us the chance to help one-on-one for as little as $25. You can make a loan that makes a difference. $25. Let's face it, whether or not we're talking about Lois, we're talking chicken feed. This caring message brought to you by AnythingGoesRadio.com and this station. Well, hey there, my friends. You're tuned in to Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery, playing whole bunches of jazz, standards, and classic pop, and mixing the music up in a way that I know you can't find too many places on your radio these days. And I'm hoping the music is doing it for you, because we do put it together with you in mind. And since I think of all Anything Goes listeners as a community, I sure hope that if you spend some time on Facebook, you'll take a moment to like Anything Goes Radio and visit me on my personal Lise Avery page, too. Or next time you visit the AnythingGoesRadio.com website, sign up for my newsletter so I can drop you a line now and again. Meanwhile, I promised you an interview with Jimmy Webb, and we're going to hear from the man himself in just a moment. But first, let me tell you that the critically acclaimed composer Jimmy Webb has enjoyed more than 40 years of success. He's the only artist to ever receive Grammy Awards for music, lyrics, and orchestration. And according to BMI, his By the Time I Get to Phoenix has been the 3rd most performed song in the last 50 years, with Up, Up, and Away on the same list in the top 30. Other classics he's best known for include Wichita Lineman, Galveston, MacArthur Park, and a whole lot more. I do promise we'll try to get to your favorites over the course of these programs, but, well, I can't promise, because Jimmy's been so prolific in his life and so many great artists have recorded his materials. But I'll do my best. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here's Jimmy talking about his childhood. Was there lots of music in your house when you were growing up? Where'd the music come from?
My dad came back from the Second World War. He spent 34 months in a combat zone as a U.S. Marine. He's a pretty tough character, but he came home with a very battered and scratched up Sears Silvertone guitar and a whole battery. If you'll let me make a little joke.
Hey, baby, go for it.
A whole battery of World War II songs like Harbor Lights and, I was singing before the show started. I was singing Little Red Wagon. I was singing I'll Be Seeing You, all these songs that the soldiers used to, you know, get into out on the front lines. I'll Be Home for Christmas, we talked about before the show, was a big one.
Uh-huh.
Because all the boys were always saying, I hope this will be over by Christmas, you know, because everybody wanted to be home.
When you say he brought the songs home, in what form? Did he play them?
He just sat around, played them. We all sang together. Now, this is really hard to believe, but I'm going to strain credulity and tell you that I was raised in a non-television environment until I was about 10 or 11.
How extraordinary.
I can remember the first time I saw a television set. Now, my kids say, Dad, you're full of it. They just absolutely don't believe that there's any truth to that. But I distinctly remember the first time I saw a television set. And then I tell them that I remember when there was no color TV, and they say, oh, come on, Dad. Tell us the one about walking 5 miles through the snow to get to school, you know. They don't believe me. They don't believe that I remember seeing, but I remember seeing Bonanza, which was the only color show on NBC and all of television. What I'm trying to get to is that for the first few years of my life, we created our own entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So after dinner, the guitar would come out. Mom played the accordion. She had a Hohner accordion. And she wasn't very tall, so once she got behind the accordion, she was sort of looking over the top like this, you know. That's my earliest memory, is my mother trying to see over her accordion. And we made little songs, and we made specials for church. We sang parts. There were, you know, it was a pretty large family, five of us children. And we could improvise 3- and 4-part harmonies from a standing start on any kind of a song you wanted to sing.
So Neil, you've had success as a composer, arranger, producer, and performer, and Bruce Etter of AllMusic Guide compared you to Hoagy Carmichael. How do you feel about that?
Oh, well, I the only thing is Hoagy Carmichael was a pretty fair actor and, you know, actually has some screen time, which, you know, I never have been able to do. I'm camera shy, so, I mean, I really get creepy crawlies when somebody points a camera at me. Maybe it's my Cherokee heritage, you know. But Hoagy Carmichael, as an icon and as something to aspire to as a songwriter, I couldn't shoot much higher. And in fact, I love his singing and his piano playing. And yeah, he was just an all-around Hollywood. You know, he was a triple threat guy. He could do anything, Hoagy, including he could act pretty good.
And you're tuned into Anything Goes here on this terrific station. I'm Lise Avery, and we're talking to songwriter Jimmy Webb. And we'll have some more from Jimmy for you in a moment, but I think a little musical interlude right here is called for. And as we mentioned earlier, many artists have had great success with Jimmy Webb tunes, including Art Garfunkel's mega hit All I Know, and we'll be getting to that one as we move through this series. But this one from Artie's Angel Clare album may be less known, but it's awfully nice too. And if you listen closely to the lyric, it's not hard to imagine Jimmy saying this to one of his kids one night.
Close your eyes, my pretty child. Though the night is dark and the wind is wild, I will stand beside your bed. Tonight there is nothing you need fear or dread. You can sleep now, go to sleep. Sister fair, though the snow is falling and the trees are bare, and I will hold you by the hand. Tonight there is nothing you need try to understand. You can sleep now, go to sleep. Stop those ghosts outside your door. Mama, don't worry about those ghosts no more. You can sleep now, go to sleep. Tomorrow comes, but it will keep. I'm standing
From his 1973 album Angel Clare, that was Art Garfunkel and Jimmy Webb's Another Lullaby. And maybe you knew that Jimmy Webb was part Cherokee, but that was news to me. Tell me about your Cherokee heritage.
I have a great-great-great-grandmother who was full-blood Cherokee.
Oh, okay.
On my father's side.
And you relate to that emotionally?
Very definitely. Mm-hmm. And I was born in Elk City, Oklahoma on Route 66. And almost anyone who was really born in Oklahoma, in my age group anyway, probably has a little Indian because it was where all the Indians were placed when they sort of parceled out the land. And,
okay.
And when finally they didn't know what to do with the Indians anymore, they sent them to the territory. And the very last piece of land which they took away from the Indians and gave to the whites was the Cherokee Strip, which is the panhandle, that little bit that sticks out. And that's where I kind of spent my life, in the western part of Oklahoma and West Texas, where my father went to seminary and studied the Bible.
But you left there fairly young, right?
I left before I graduated high school. I was about, I think, 15, almost 16. That was the summer of my 16th birthday.
Wow.
And it was the Beach Boys summer of California. Every window in the neighborhood was spouting effusive amounts of Beach Boy music, harmonies floating across the lawns and the sounds of the sprinklers. And it was intoxicating to this, you know, kid who had really grown up in a desert. I don't know whether you have any romantic ideas about West Texas and all that Buddy Holly stuff, but it's a desert. And, you know, I can remember black tarantulas as big as my hand running across the white chalk roads of West Texas. And it doesn't sound like you're talking about America, does it? But it's a very wild and woolly. Well, they used to call it the Badlands, you know.
Jimmy Webb telling us about his Cherokee heritage and growing up in the desert of the American West. And if you've just joined us, well, first of all, welcome. And thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Lise Avery, and the name of this mix of jazz, standards, classic pop, and interviews is Anything Goes. Today, and for the next couple of programs here on Anything Goes, we're featuring my interview with renowned songwriter Jimmy Webb. In our next program, we'll hear from Jimmy about his songwriting process, and we'll learn the whole scoop about MacArthur Park and how Richard Harris ended up singing it. And I hope you can stick around today, because we've got whole lot more great stuff coming at you. And I hope you're enjoying our music choices, because we're here to share some of our favorite music and other tidbits to entertain you and put some distance between you and whatever's on your mind. We thank this station for the opportunity to be on your radio, and we thank you for listening. I'm Lise Avery. We've come up to a break right now. On the other side, we'll be hearing from, Ella Fitzgerald, hanging out with guitarist Joe Pass. And I've got something fun for you from Groucho Marx. And we'll get to all that and more in just a minute or two. So don't go far.